You are listening to Daily Devotions with Pastor Robert Marsbach. We believe that these devotions will encourage and strengthen you. So tune in, connect, and be blessed. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Welcome to Life Devotions, and thank you for joining me today. Young man, overcome the wicked one, is the title of this devotion. Here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, it says, I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young man, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you know the Father, and so forth. Friends, one of the parts of our spiritual growth in life that brings us into what we would maybe call adolescence is where we begin to realize, first, as children, we learn we are forgiven and God is our Father. And then as we begin to spiritually grow more, we begin to realize that we have an adversary. Jesus in John 10:10 says, the devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and it more abundant. The book of Job is one of those books that Virginia and I, we love that book. It is the oldest book in the Bible. Job lived in the days shortly after the flood, about 200 years after the flood, or 100 years after the flood, within that time. I mean, Abraham was 75 years old when it was 365 years after the flood. So that gives you a bit of an idea, right? And Job lived at that time. And Job is somebody who God was able to use to help us realize there is an evil devil that brings destruction, sickness, and torment, and accusation. And there's a good God that brings favor and blessings and healing and restoration. And that there are these different powers. They're not equal in opposition by any means. No, but you do have to realize that there is evil. And there's people that would think, if I just ignore the devil, he will go away from me. No, he will not go away from you, because he's constantly going about seeking whom he may devour. You can't ignore him and he'll go away. You can also not act like he doesn't exist and that he will leave you alone. No, he will not leave you alone, because his nature is to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus said. And he doesn't just attack Christians. No, he torments everybody. The Bible says that those who have not received Christ are under the sway of the wicked one, are under his control in Ephesians chapter 2. And you can be so darkened of heart and blinded spiritually that you can't recognize that the torment and that which pushes you is not just the nature of sin, but Satan, who employs that nature of sin to destroy you, and to use you as an instrument to destroy your own home and your own family and your own lives. And this is a part of spiritual growth, that we realize we have an adversary. And I love what Jesus said. In John 14, just before he was being crucified, that very night before he was crucified, Jesus says in verse 30, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, evil genius, ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There's nothing in me that belongs to him. He has no power over me. But Satan is coming, and I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know, be convinced that I love the Father and that I only do what the Father has instructed me to do and act in full agreement with his orders. Rise up and let us go from here. Jesus makes it very clear to you there is an adversary. And the adversary, called the devil, the word devil means opposer. Oppose, who opposes righteousness, peace, and joy. He opposes wholeness, health, and well-being. He's opposed to it. And Satan is the word deceiver, corrupter, a corruptive force that corrupts what is holy, living, active, powerful. He corrupts it, he defiles it. The marriage is supposed to be beautiful, but he corrupts it with wrath and malice and envy and strife and contentions and wants and needs and unfulfilled desires. He corrupts it with unkindness and cruelness and malice and egotistical behaviors and rudeness and everything else. That is the work of Satan. It may not at that very moment every time be Satan doing it, because he has produced this nature of sin and corruption within the human flesh. But there is a Savior called Jesus who came to save us from corruption and sin and the devil. And how good it is. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit, the evil spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, those who don't obey the gospel, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh in the mind, who were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who's rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and so forth and so forth. You see, dear friends, the only way to come out of the grip of the devil, and I mean, you may say, yeah, but Pastor, you don't want to tell me that everything that happens is the devil. No, I agree with you. It's sinful nature, but that is his terrain. That's his battlefield. That's where he reigns. That's where he rules. And the Bible says that God delivered us out of the powers of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, friends, the Lord takes us out of the dominion of Satan's control and rulership. And he brings you into the dominion and rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is part of our spiritual growth, that we begin to realize, no, Satan is no longer my master. Sin is not my master. I do not have to follow the evil dictates of my own heart and my flesh. I do not have to live as a subject of my flesh lusts and desires and wants and needs and angers and jealousies and malice and the desire for knowing evil spirits and uncleanness, witchcraft. That's a work of the flesh, Galatians 2:20. I don't live anymore under the pornography impulses of the flesh. I don't live anymore under the evil lies and temptations of Satan. I live in the wonderful love of my Heavenly Father through the power of Jesus Christ in me. I've been made alive with him. I've been set free from the devil's dominion and control. Colossians 2, verse 12. I am buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross, and disarmed principalities, powers, and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. What is he trying to describe here in simplicity? Because we lived under the control of our own weak human nature without Jesus Christ, the law of God was contrary to us. With our mind, we may say, yeah, I agree with what the law says, But with our flesh, we do the opposite. Romans 7 describes this perfectly. And so we were condemned, and Satan used that to accuse us, attack us, torment us, and make us feel guilty and ashamed and condemned. That's the work of Satan, to accuse you consistently. But Jesus came, and he came in human flesh, so that he came under the law, and he completely, by his eternal spirit, satisfied the law as he offered himself as a sacrifice for our sin, and thereby he completely took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, because he satisfied the law and he took away its charge against us in his human flesh, as he completely satisfied the law by the spirit by which he offered himself. He said, so to speak, to the law, you're right, I'm guilty, I'm condemned, I bear the punishment. And with such a sweet spirit that it removed the wrath of God, which is the word propitiation. He removed the wrath of God through his sweet self-sacrifice. And thereby Satan has no power to accuse you of sin, because Jesus paid it all. And he rose from the dead as he made a public spectacle of Satan, having completely disarmed him from being able to accuse you. He now declares you and me who receive him not guilty, righteous and holy in God's sight because of the sacrifice he made. And now Satan has no claim on you. And here's your freedom from the devil's control. Here's your victory over the nature of sin. Here's your joy and peace and righteousness with the Father. Here's your freedom. This is the wonder of Christianity. This is the power of Jesus Christ. And listen to this. Listen, this is Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this. I pray that you can understand what is this power of Christ's life in you, who exerted it, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Listen now, far above all rule, authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age, but also in the world and the age that is to come. He has put all things under the feet of Jesus and appointed him the universal supreme head of his church, a headship exercised through his church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and fills everything everywhere with himself. Now this is spiritual growth, that you begin to perceive, recognize by his spirit, and understand this power that causes you to see Satan crushed under your feet. The scripture says the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, and where he maybe came and attacked you with torment, and maybe where he came to attack you, to tear up your marriage, don't be afraid. Jesus overcame him. Jesus deprived him of power to harm you. And this is your victory over Satan, the revelation of Jesus. This is your spiritual growth as young man who overcome the wicked one. Oh, what a wonder, what a wonder, what a wonder when you begin to learn this and begin to spiritually grow and begin to realize what it says here in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. Yet the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and set you on a firm foundation and guard you from the evil one. The firm foundation is Christ's accomplished work and his heavenly, holy ministry, interceding his life into you by his spirit to strengthen you. He is the foundation of our confession of faith. And as you stand complete in him, what he accomplished, Satan has no claim on you. He has no power over you. There's nothing in you that belongs to him. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus. Your body is the temple of his Holy Spirit. Satan has no claim on you. Not now, not ever, for all of eternity. And that is such an important part of our spiritual growth. And we need it today. So let me close with Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death. I tell you the truth, no matter how much Satan may rage against you in your marriage, you can overcome. You can overcome by the word of your testimony that Jesus paid it all. By the blood that he shed, cleansing your heart consistently from any consciousness of sin. And by you refusing to live to please yourself, but love to live to please God. Satan has no claim on you, no power over you. And God wants you to live in that kind of authority over him. Where Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, saw his disciples return to him with joy and said, Lord, even evil spirits are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, when you went out ministering in my name, I saw Satan fall like lightning over the region you went. He lost all control and power where you went. But do not rejoice over this, that demons are subject to you, but rejoice over this, that your names are known and written in heaven. And Jesus rejoiced in the spirit, it says there, and said, Father, so it seemed right in you that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but revealed them to babes. Oh, my dear friends, it makes Jesus so happy to see you spiritually grow and begin to live in his authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Have a good day.